My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Is on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Of course, Mike is a columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle. He's got a new book, The Why Is Everything? A Story of Football, Rivalry, and Revolution. Yeah, that is out on Tuesday, October 1st. Mike, thank you so much for joining us. How are you, my man?
I'm better now after that Jerry lick to lead me in. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You know, we had a major discussion about what to play before you came on the air today, where we're going to do Grateful Dead. Jeff had another couple songs he wanted to do. Jeff, what was your...
Well, I figured we could play something from the Silver Convention. Little Fly, Robin, Fly. Or from the Silvers, Boogie Fever.
I'm really glad Jeff got overruled. Good job.
We deadheads got to take care of each other, Mike.
Alabama, get away. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Trust me, Mike. I didn't get any run on my suggestions.
He got zero. I'm not even a deadhead. I was like, oh, go with Grateful Dead. Let's do that. That'll be way better. Like,
there are a lot of really good choices. I wouldn't put Fly, Robin, Fly in that group, but I appreciate the effort.
All right. Let's talk about what's going on with Brandon Ayuk. What do you think the situation is here? Where are we? Where is he going? Is there any chance he's staying with San Francisco?
Well, I think there's not a great chance he's staying with San Francisco, and I reported yesterday that they have not engaged with him since May, early May, really, like the aftermath of the draft. So they dangled Ayuk and Thibault at various points leading into and during the draft, drafted Ricky Pearsall, a receiver, with the 31st overall pick. Clearly one of them was going to be gone after 2024, if not earlier, and basically made him an offer in May that they haven't come off of, despite his efforts to engage. So finally he asked for a trade leading into camp, decided to show up and hold in, avoiding fines, and it turns out triggering Kyle Shanahan, who I think is able to compartmentalize when someone's holding out, but when he's right there in front of your face doing bro hugs or maybe not in a great mood one day for whatever reason, it set Shanahan off a little bit. And so that has kind of pushed the 49ers to be more aggressive about trade talks. But Ayuk does have leverage in that he has to take a physical, he has to agree to an extension, essentially, with whatever team trades for him. And so we're kind of in that zone where, what does he want? What trade package do they want? Is the money going to work out? And he's still holding in. In theory, they can say, knock it off, start practicing you're under contract under the fifth-year option for $14.1 million this year, and then it would get very interesting.
What's he looking for, Mike? Is he looking for the big-time money receivers are getting now, and is he looking for that alone, or is he looking for that in a place where he actually really wants to play, and what might that place be?
Great question. If it were money alone, I think the Patriots trade would have already gotten done, because my understanding is they're offering the most money, like an insane amount of money, even with the market where it is, and he seems to have not been open to that. So it's clearly not only about the money. My understanding is he's thinking about Cleveland. It's not like, I don't want to play there. It's just, he's got a young family. He's, doesn't know the city that well, and he's just kind of pondering. And certainly there are a lot of things about the Browns that are enticing, a lot of talent on that team. And, you could understand how someone would be excited to play there. So there's that. The Steelers seem to be a team that he has been targeting. The 49ers and Steelers haven't been as able to agree on trade compensation as the Browns. And then part of the issue is because the 49ers botched their attempt to do this before the draft, which would have allowed them to get something for 2024, the last year of Brock Purdy's rookie deal, a season they really, really want to go after it. They're kind of looking for a player back who can contribute now. There's been talk about Amari Cooper with the Browns. That would obviously make the most sense as a receiver, but it definitely doesn't have to be a receiver. If you're looking at the Steelers, they don't really have the receiver to offer other than Pickens, who they don't seem to want to offer. But, if you put Minka Fitzpatrick into that deal, I think it gets done today, for example. So, it's a very interesting situation. There's been kind of this assumption that, quote, the 49ers have all the leverage, but they really don't have all the leverage in that Ayuk is not going to get traded to a place that he doesn't want to go.
You just mentioned something that I was just going to ask you about. We've heard here Amari Cooper and, say, a second-round pick, and then we've seen reports where it says Amari Cooper is not in the deal. You don't think the Niners would insist on getting a wide receiver back?
I don't know that it has to be a wide receiver. And so, Amari Cooper, obviously an incredibly talented and productive player. You would think most teams would be enticed by that. On the other hand, there's the whole Kyle Shanahan profile and the offense he runs and takes a while to pick up, and does the guy block ferociously as Ayuk does. And so I haven't gotten a great read on whether they are really, really into Amari Cooper, happy to take Amari Cooper but not thrilled, or not into it. All I can tell you is it doesn't have to be a receiver. For example, had it been the Patriots and Matthew Judon or, the offensive lineman, I'm spacing on his name, that starts with an O, one of those guys, I think the 49ers would be like, yeah, we'll take another premium player at a different position in theory. The Patriots' second-round pick next year, let's be honest, is probably going to be really close to a first-round pick if they finish the way we expect them to. The Browns, I think it's more likely that that second-round pick is going to be a lot later in the second round. So, you have to weigh all these things. But, again, it's not just the 49ers deciding, which makes it an even trickier endeavor. I think if you're a Browns fan and you're hoping it happens, the good news is we're going to reach critical mass here, and it doesn't. Sure, the 49ers and Ayuk could solve it. You could throw money at the problem, and all they have to do is re-engage. But the fact that they haven't done it since May leads me to believe it's not necessarily headed that way.
How much longer do you think this thing's going to drag out? I'm just sitting here from the Browns' perspective going, hey, if this is – we have something on the table, and if he's kicking it around, or do the Browns – like Jeff had suggested this morning, the Browns just – they give the offer to San Francisco. They give the offer to Brandon and say, here's the deal. And this, if he takes it, he takes it. If he doesn't, he doesn't. I mean, could we be waiting a long time on this, or you think it's going to happen soon?
Well, we all want it to happen soon.
Yes.
That's how we are. But, yes. I don't know what Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski and company want. If you know, the Browns could certainly do that, and it seems like the Patriots maybe did, either that or I just told them, look, it's not going to happen. But, you know, you also don't have to, right? It's, if you think you have the framework of a deal and you think you have the money where he wants it and you want it, you can probably wait. If you're the 49ers, you know, hold-ins tend to go for a while, and then it's pretty close to the season, and the team can say, look, man, you got to practice or else. And the player can do the Jalen Ramsey with the Jaguars and be like, man, my back hurts. And you can't prove it doesn't. That would be interesting. The player can go, you know what? I'm going to suck it up. I'm going to practice. I'm going to play. I'm going to make my 14-1 and way less than I think I'm worth. And I'm, you know, obviously going to err on the side of protecting my body, but it is what it is. Or, you know, you could have, for those of you who remember beyond a few years ago, you know, you could have Terrell Owens in the driveway doing push-ups while his agent screams next question, which I think in the social media era would be even more of a spectacle than it was then. So, I don't know. I just know that if Ayuk does play for the 49ers on a one-year deal, then all of a sudden it's Hunger Games with him and Deebo Samuel. We know one of them will be gone after next season at the latest. Also, there's the trade deadline. Deebo Samuel, who in the past has been pretty hardline in his own contract dealings, has shown up, had an amazing camp, totally into it, looks awesome. And I think the juxtaposition of Deebo Samuel's current approach and Brandon Ayuk's has also triggered Kyle Shanahan, and they seem fine going forward with Samuel and first-round pick Ricky Pearsall. So all of that is super intriguing to me. So I wouldn't mind it continuing all the way to the trade deadline or beyond, because maximum drama as a columnist in San Francisco, but I can understand how fans want some quick resolution. I would say once the preseason ends and we're getting into that regular season prep, something will go down one way or the other, and it'll be very interesting.
Michael, what do you think of the whole notion of a hold-in, this byproduct of the CBA that kind of gave a loophole for these players to kind of do this? Like, it's funny because the whole time you're talking, I'm going, I can't stand these hold-ins. I think they're the dumbest thing ever. And then you brought in the drama part, and then I thought about what you do for a living and what we do for a living, and I'm like, well, maybe it's not so bad.
Well, and remember, I cover a team that in 2022 had Jimmy Garoppolo literally as a sideshow throwing on a side field during training camp where fans could, like, turn around and watch with the assumption that he was going to eventually be traded as he rehabbed his shoulder. And then they kept him, and then Trey Lance got hurt in week two, and Jimmy had what was going to be a Pro Bowl season until he got hurt and Brock Purdy came in. I mean, talk about drama. I've had a lot of it. But, I would say the first thing on your question is that people have to remember that all rookies or people on rookie deals are getting ripped off relative to the market because of the 2011 lockout and subsequent collective bargaining agreement, where the current players then sold out the future rookies and said, fine, we'll cap rookie wages and protect teams who, heaven forbid, draft the wrong guy from having to pay so much. So now they're all getting below market deals if they're good and if they're drafted high. So Brandon Ayuk has been underpaid for years, and 14.1 this year would be an underpay relative to the market. So anything the CBA allows, including a holdout or a hold-in, I think is very minor compared to the advantages the owners got starting in 2011. The second part of that is, conventional wisdom says hold-in's better than a hold-out. The guy's still around the team. He's still in the fold. It seems like you're working towards something. Everybody can be cordial. And it's just kind of, usually I think it works when you know it's going to get done. It's just been complicated and it's taking a while. Where I think a hold-in can be problematic is when the player requests a trade, you're not negotiating with him, and then he's just coming in so he doesn't get fined. And remember, those fines can be forgiven when you're on your rookie deal, but if Brandon Ayuk gets fined every day and then gets traded, the 49ers are not going to forgive those fines. Why would they? So I get why he would come in. And in this case, when he came in, my first impression, and I wrote it, was he's got no leverage now. If you really want to be, you know, a guy hardened, you hold out. But now I'm reconsidering and saying, I think he triggered Kyle Shanahan. I think he bothered him to the point where they're now going to either trade him or, you know, be willing to trade him, depending on what he wants. And that's movement from where they were before trading camp.
I do want to ask you about the book. I want to ask you about your new book that comes out on October 1st. The Why is Everything, a story of football, rivalry, and revolution. What's this all about? And give us a little preview.
Well, I'm psyched that you asked. I'm really excited about this. It's the Shanahan-McVay coaching crew, basically, which includes Raheem Morris, Matt LaFleur, Mike McDaniel, all head coaches were on that Mike Shanahan staff in Washington, and talks about the way they've changed the game. And it's cool because really Jim Schwartz is like the classic Shanahan beater. And we saw that again, in, I think, October it was last year, that great defensive effort by the Browns, a game that I really enjoyed attending and watching. And, that's kind of a counterpoint. And you get into why the 49ers have made some of their schematic changes in reaction to the trouble Kyle Shanahan has had with that scheme. But really, it's a look at these people who have a different approach. Instead of just following the old tenets, it's everything's open to being questioned. They share that, but there's also the pettiness and the rivalry between them. And obviously, over the last, seven seasons or so, we've seen so much play out with Shanahan, McVay, now McDaniel in Miami, LaFleur in Green Bay, and Raheem Morris getting a second chance. So I think football fans are going to love it, and if you don't know football that well, I think it'll help you understand the sport.
Is Shanahan under any heat out there, Mike, to win the whole thing?
I mean, he's under a lot of heat from himself to win the whole thing. He's maniacally obsessed that he's had four close calls in the last five seasons, two NFC Championship game defeats, and obviously the two Super Bowls against the Chiefs. So he wants it desperately. I would say he's not under any heat in terms of is he going to get fired if they don't win. But as you know, things change rapidly in the NFL and things can degenerate. And they've had this great little run with Brock Purdy, the 262nd pick of the draft. Talk about a bad rookie deal. He's, making so little relative to his performance that they can load up around him and pay so many premium players at so many positions, and they have such a talented roster. But after this season, they're going to have to pay Brock Purdy. Doesn't mean you have to break up the whole operation, but they're going to have to make some hard decisions. That's what's going on here with the drafting of Ricky Pearsall and the potential movement of Ayuk or Deebo Samuel. And so, there's a lot of internal pressure to kind of make this season count before you have to start paying the guy.
Purdy's contract doesn't even call for him to make $1 million this year. Do you think they view him as a guy, say like Jordan Love, who you're going to pay $50 million to? Is he going to be one of those guys? Or might they think, we can go find another quarterback who can come in here and run this thing at a really reasonable price?
No, he's going to be one of those guys. And I kind of laughed when we're talking about, is he Jordan Love? I mean, Jordan Love, bless him, had like eight or nine good games after a choppy first half of his first season as a starter. Went into Dallas and won a playoff game, and was poised to do it against the Niners, threw a terrible interception on first down with a chance to tie the game late. So I'm not saying Jordan Love's not going to be a really good quarterback, and what he did was really cool, but the haste with which the Packers committed financially to him is kind of striking to me. Brock Purdy had that great run as a rookie, suffered a potentially ruinous arm injury, came right back from it, and it had the 14th highest quarterback rating in NFL history last year and leading the league. I think he's absolutely convinced me, but more important, he's convinced Kyle Shanahan a long time ago. So, yeah, they're going to pay him barring, you know, some crazy regression, and I think that'll be fine. They think he can elevate. You know, what you don't have is the ability to pay Christian McCaffrey, Kyle Juszczyk, Trent Williams, George Kittle, Fred Warner, Charvarius Ward, Javon Hargrave, Nick Bosa, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In perpetuity, you're going to have to make some tough decisions and not have all of those guys.
Mike, as always, thank you very much. We appreciate you. The new book, The Why is Everything, A Story of Football Rivalry and Revolution, just in time for you to write a book report, kids, when you go back to school. It is out October 1st. Thanks, Mike. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Mike.
Really appreciate it. Thanks, you guys.
Talk to you soon. Of course, he was on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Visit. Is Cleveland a better place for his family? Is Pittsburgh a better place for his family? So I thought that was kind of interesting, and that it's not all about the money.
It's about the money. But it's not all about the money.
It's not all about the money.
He wants to get paid. Big time. I mean, why else do you hold out?
But then why wouldn't you take the New England deal?
Well, because he wanted to. He's looking for everything, Andy. He's looking to get paid and be where he wants to be. I know everybody says no San Francisco. I just still think that's where he's going to end up.
Well, I thought his rationale behind it, and I'll bring it up here in a second. This is what Michael Silver had talked about, what I was just talking about.
My understanding is he's thinking about Cleveland. It's not like, oh, I don't want to play there. It's just got a young family. He doesn't know the city that well, and he's just kind of pondering. And certainly there are a lot of things about the Browns that are enticing. A lot of talent on that team. You could understand how someone would be excited to play there.
I thought that was really interesting that he said that, because I don't know that we hear that very often about a player or free agent that ponders Cleveland as a destination choice. And even the fact that it comes into consideration here is, I think, is a shot in the arm. And, you know, I do think you have to look at the Browns roster. Once you get past the money, I think your next look then is the roster, right? What's the opportunity going to be there for me? If they do decide to keep Amari Cooper, then what are we going to look like? Could we be the best 1-2 punch in the NFL? But, you know, I think all those things come in as secondary questions for Brandon Ayuk as he tries to figure out what he wants to do. When Silver talked about him going back to San Francisco, man, he sounded like Shanahan wants nothing to do with him.
Yeah, I know.
That was the feeling I got there.
And he certainly knows more than, you know, we do about the situation. Certainly knows more than I do. It just, to me, this seems like one of those things, and I'm probably wrong, where, okay, it doesn't look good, it doesn't look good, it doesn't look good. Oh, wait a minute, group hug, you're back. I don't know if that's going to be the case or not. And as Mike laid out, with Brock Purdy's contract coming up, and he thinks they're going to pay Brock Purdy, so Brock's going to go from making under $1 million this year and just barely over $1 million next year to a big-time contract where he's going to, you know, make $40, $50 million, something silly. And I say that silly only because it's silly that anybody's making that kind of money as a quarterback. But they're going to have to make some tough decisions on their roster if they're going to lock into Purdy at that dollar figure. Again, and maybe that means Ayuk's not coming back.
After talking Silver, where do you think Ayuk's going to end up?
San Francisco.
You still think so? I don't. Silver,
asking me to pick one.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll pick San Francisco. Mike thinks he's moving. Mike knows more about it than I do.
Yeah.
I look at that Niner team, and there are two things. We all know Shanahan's offense, and they're very effective, and they do a lot of interesting things. What they do more than anybody else is run the ball. That's the one thing that might make me think more than anything that he's not going back to San Francisco, because they don't have the need for that kind of a wide receiver at that dollar figure in that lineup, because they threw fewer passes than any team in the NFL last year. Well, they have Christian McCaffrey. They have Elijah Mitchell. You know, they have good running backs, and Shanahan
Kyle
loves
Juszczyk
to run the ball.
Kyle Juszczyk, too. He was talking about Juszczyk.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
You know, Kyle loves to run the ball. So maybe they think an investment in a wide receiver at that dollar figure just doesn't work for them.
He also wasn't like so all in on Amari Cooper based on exactly what you just said, that maybe Cooper doesn't fit the scheme for Shanahan. But I think all of us on the outside of the world are going, well, if you're going to get rid of your top receiver, why not take the other team's top receiver? And that way, even if he's only got a year left on his contract, that it doesn't hurt you as bad. That you get rid of the problem of the player who doesn't want to play for us, and maybe we find a player that does want to play for us and would be extremely hungry if they didn't extend Amari Cooper, right? Because he's looking at being a free agent at the end of the year, and now maybe he could be looking at a situation where if he goes to the 49ers, that maybe they're not hung up on age, and they're like, okay, well, let's do a 2-year deal with him, or let's try to extend this contract while we have the opportunity so we can keep him in the mix. But if it doesn't jive with the running game that San Francisco has, then why would you want to do that either? I thought that Silver was like lukewarm on Amari Cooper going to
I thought it was
San Francisco.
I didn't think it was Cooper as much as I thought it was wide receiver.
Yeah, the position. Yeah, yeah. On the guy. Yeah, I'm not trying to make it sound like that.
You know, that brings up the thought of, you know, surplus of offensive linemen. For the Browns.
Is that where you're going with this then?
I don't know. You could.
Who's expendable?
Well, you've got three tackles. They're not trading DeJuan.
And well, you're not. I'm just trying to. I'm looking at the Browns defense. Going, if I was going to trade someone, and I was trying to figure out exactly where we're more, where we have more flexibility. I don't know. Could offensive line be the place? You tell me.
Vital position. Christian McCaffrey needs people to open holes for him.
You're one. The problem with looking at depth on that offensive line is you could get really excited about it. Like right now, you're like, oh, we have all kinds of depth. If anything happens, we're okay. All it takes is one or two pieces, and all of a sudden it looks totally different. You're like, oh, we're not very deep at offensive line.
You mean thus my thought at wide receiver? If something happens to Amari Cooper?
It's exactly what it was. Mm-hmm. I mean, look how thin the Browns looked at wide receiver all of a sudden. You went from Cooper, Moore, and Judy to, you know, Moore, Judy, and unproven Tillman. That's a big jump off. If that was the case, but it didn't, because Amari ended up coming back, and so we were good to go with Amari. And but now, I mean, think about that. And I don't even know who you're taking out of the mix if you decide you want to go out and get Ayuk. That, you know, now you're looking at Brandon Ayuk. Could you imagine having Amari Cooper and Brandon Ayuk at the same time? I'd be super happy with that.
Yes, I can.
And Jerry Jeudy. Well, and then all of a sudden, now you're looking at Elijah Moore, and you're going, oh, well, maybe he's expendable. Or do we have to rush the process of Cedric Tillman? Or are we taking opportunity away from him? It doesn't look good for my guy David Bell, if that would be the case. Plus, they were using Jamari Thrash the other day on special teams when I was out there on Sunday. So there, you know, he's another. Hey, we picked him. We want him, right? I look at it and you try to figure out what player could the Browns then trade if they weren't looking at Amari Cooper. But it is exciting to think about if you could have Ayuk and Cooper on the team at the same time. Wow, that would be phenomenal. That's for 1 year, wouldn't that be great? I'd be happy with that, wouldn't you?
I'd like it for more than 1 year. But yes, I get it.
All right, let's continue on. I want to talk a little bit more about what Mike Silver had to say. 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Jim Harbaugh, you just heard it in the update. Dan, you don't have anything more on that then. Just what he had just said, what Andrew said in the update, is that should Jim Harbaugh come back to the NCAA, he will have to sit out at least one season, right? That's what it was. And it's all, there's a show cause here too. So like whoever would hire him would have to explain to the NCAA why they want to hire him in the first place. Ohio State fans will remember this because Jim Tressel had a similar situation. So it's a 1 year, just correct me if I'm wrong, 1 year suspension. And this is because he was recruiting when no one else was allowed to recruit while we were going through COVID.
Correct.
Okay.
This is the recruiting scandal, I guess, that took place during the COVID-19 dead period where no one was allowed to contact recruits because of various health violations and all that stuff. Jim Harbaugh proceeded to do as such, and I believe a chunk of his staff did as well. And so here we are now finally getting a ruling on this. Everything you said is accurate. He's suspended for 1 year, and there will be a 4 year show cause. So if Jim Harbaugh does not return to college football in 4 years, then he doesn't have to serve anything.
Yeah, it's like Jim Tressel served out his show cause. If he wanted to go back and coach college football right now, even if he wanted to, he'd be clean and he'd be able to go do whatever he wants for any team, and he wouldn't have any restrictions against him for going out and trying to recruit or doing anything. He'd just be a regular coach kind of guy if that was the situation. But the hard part is that, you know, Ohio State got a one-year bowl suspension, which drove Urban Meyer absolutely insane, because they had a great team that year and they weren't allowed to go to a bowl because they were sitting out, you know, what had happened with Tressel. And so I don't know. I look at this. You guys know I get all fired up about this. Like, I don't understand. Go ahead. What do you got? One more
thing. I was just going to say, direct statement right here. During the show cause order, Harbaugh would be barred from all athletically related activities, including team travel, practice, video study, recruiting, and team meetings at any NCAA school that employed him. Additionally, if hired during the show cause order, Harbaugh would be suspended for 100% of his first season of employment. The results of those contests during Harbaugh's suspension would not count towards career coaching record. Sorry, Jeff.
Oh, I was worried about his record. That'd be my biggest concern.
You know what he's worried about?
Because they may have to vacate some of his wins. It's so stupid.
He's worried about how that house construction's coming along.
I still don't understand how, and again, that was a 2011. Tressel was suspended for 6 games from the Colts. This is the thing that just absolutely fires me up. Like, I don't know why, as a consultant, that the NFL decided they wanted to put their hands in on this one. And I know you're all going to like, turn the page and who cares? It was forever ago and blah, blah, blah. But at that time,
No,
I know. I took all the words out of your mouth.
You put the quarter in, you got to let the full song play.
At that time, the NFL thought it was important to suspend Jim Tressel, and the Colts were like, okay, whatever. I mean, so he had to sit out. I think he had to sit out 6 games. In the NFL because of what had happened at Ohio State. I don't know how in the same league Jim Harbaugh can coach in the NFL this year or not have some kind of suspension. And maybe it's just easy to suspend a guy who's a video coordinator compared to a guy who's a head coach. I don't know if that's maybe the scenario. I'll sit here on my stoop and I'll stew about it, and I'll still try to figure out how shady it looks that's not happening. But whatever. Maybe I'm just on my own island. I'm good for it. Jeff?
Andy, I don't know if there's anything more I can or should add to that.
Okay. You don't want to pile on?
Well, no. You already said it. You should turn the page. You should move on. I think your employment with Coach Tressel as his PR man is worn off now.
You know what you can do right now. That was not nice, not fair. And I'm not trying to be a PR guy for Jim Tressel. I'm not. I just don't think it was right. And I don't know that it's right for you to say that either, that I'm trying to be a PR guy for Tressel. That's not right either. So
I thought it would be kind of fun.
I know.
Just like you doing the do-do-do-do voice for Dan and me.
No, I don't really do that. I have a different voice for you.
No, you just did that moments ago.
Trying to remember. Can we play that back, please? Do we have the replay? Can we go back to replay on that?
Wait, go to the tape? Can we bring the show to a halt and go to the tape?
Yeah, I didn't. Oh, Jeff's throwing a red flag. What am I supposed to do? Who's going to get the penalty? He may have burned a timeout.
Who didn't pack the tent?
All right, we now go to this break so we can go to the tape.
All right, we're back from the break.
There's no evidence that Andy Baskin made fun of Jeff Phelps and I during the VAR challenge that took place here on 92.3 The Fan.
Boom. You just lost.
No, you lost. There's nothing you can say because I just said everything. So there it was.
Okay, all right. Mark's in Fairview Park. Hi, Mark.
Down, Baskin.
How are you, Mark?
Hey, doing all right, guys.
Now, what do you think should happen to Harbaugh here, man?
Oh, bury him. Listen, I wanted to ask because I thought even with Tressel, the show clause extended from the NCAA, and that even blocked any opportunity he had in the NFL. So do you think that would...
How could the... I don't know how that's... Like,
it's
the
not,
NCAA...
That's not possible.
Yeah, I don't know that that's... The NFL decided to do that. When they said he had to sit out 6 games.
Yes. And I didn't know if, from your opinion, if you think the NFL will get involved with the Chargers, with Harbaugh, with the organization, you know, and force them upon that.
All right, Mark, just appease me. Just go, yes, they should. They should get all fired up and suspended for a couple of games this year for the Chargers. And then we'll both realize that the time has passed and that
yes,
we can't.
They should.
Yeah. Mark, if we were sitting at a bar, I would buy you a beer right now. Thank you. Thank you for supporting me.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Miller Lite.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go. Appreciate it. Mark in Fairview Park. Sitting at the bar with me, commiserating. What else can they do to Harbaugh now? Will he last in the league?
Buy him some new khaki pants.
Yeah, will he last in the NFL for that long that he might even have to contemplate going back to the NCAA or to an NCAA team in the next 4 years?
Nope. He'll either be there or he'll be working TV. He'd be great on TV.
All right, on things worth mentioning. but we're not going to go full-blown breaking news or anything like that on it.
Mm-hmm.
Our buddy Andrew Filippone.
Okay.
On our sister station down in Pittsburgh.
Oh, here we go.
Sources. The Steelers have a verbal agreement in place with the 49ers for Brandon Ayuk. All the terms of the deal and contract details are being hammered out now. The wide receiver is coming to Pittsburgh. Again, Andrew Filippone reporting that, saying that sources are telling him the Steelers have a verbal agreement in place with the 49ers for Brandon Ayuk. All the terms of the deal and contract details are being hammered out now. The wide receiver coming to Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Well why wouldn't we consider that breaking news? Of course it is. Yeah.
I hope he's incorrect. I would not want to see him go to the Steelers.
Wait, why are we questioning Filippone? If Filippone's saying this is correct, it's right. Why would he make up a lie? Why?
Because earlier he had said the Steelers were out. That sources were telling the Steelers are out.
No, earlier today
we're back in, and we're flipping back and forth all over the place here. So
it was Patriots and Browns. Now Patriots are out. Browns might be out. Steelers are back. When the 49ers decide to announce something and everything, I'll buy it.
You're not going to buy it from any reporter then, right? Like if Mike Florio came out and said it, then you wouldn't buy that either.
I would buy it from Florio, from Schefter.
Well, I just think if Filippone is going to report this.
It's nothing against Andrew.
Sure it is.
Andy, it's not. There's so much.
Yes, it is.
Well, in your mind, certainly not mine, or I wouldn't have said it. There's so much flying around about this that I'm going to wait and see what happens. There are a couple of national reporters who seem to get all the stories before they break. Sometimes a local story reporter gets one. I'm going to choose to just wait and hear it from Schefter or the Niners.
Oh, I'm disappointed. If Filippone's saying it's a done deal.
Don't be disappointed in the way I think.
Well, no, I think it's funny how we just like assume that some of these reporters that say it, it's gold. But if somebody else says
it, did you believe
it
yesterday when he said the Steelers were out?
No, I don't.
Well, then why not?
Hang on. I don't remember him saying they were out. I've never heard Filippone say they were out.
That's because nobody cared when he said they were out.
I know what he said this morning. That he said that. Hang on. Now I got to go back and read the tweet. It's on our own website. His earlier tweet today. Pressure.
Maybe he's right. I hope not, because I do not want to see Brandon Ayuk in this division. It would put the Browns wide receiving crew way down in the division rankings.
Kind of adds to the rivalry a little bit, because it will have meant that he picked, if there was a deal and framework that was done between the Browns and the 49ers and they were just waiting for Ayuk to make a decision, that he chose Pittsburgh over Cleveland. Am I wrong? If there was a deal in place and it was just a matter of trying to figure out if this was the deal, that's where, again, Filippone said earlier today, barring a last-second change of heart from the 49ers or Brandon Ayuk, the Steelers expect to trade for Ayuk by the end of the week at the latest. And, that was it. He said that earlier today. I never caught the part where he said they were out. I had heard Pittsburgh was in the whole time and that no one was talking about him yesterday. I was like, I don't get this. I don't get it. And then New England dropped out, and so our proposal, or the Browns' proposal, was sitting there as we were waiting to find out if Ayuk wanted it. And then go back to Mike Silver when we were talking about before, Jeff, that, you know, it sounded to me like Ayuk was looking for what's better for his family. A little bit, right? Because we talk about that all the time. Maybe. Sometimes I dismiss that. And you tend to weigh that a little bit heavier about, you know, life choices and wanting to make sure that your family's going into a good situation. I was like, wow, if you're listening to Mike Silver, Mike said what Jeff says all the time on this show. You know, when it comes to making decisions like this, career choice, where you're going to, what's next for you.
We'll see. That's all we can do at this point. I'm going to wait and hear it from either one of the one or two national sources who never seem to miss, or from the teams involved.
Hmm. Yeah, I'd rather hear it from the team, let's be honest with you. That way you know it's 100% real. So I'm backing off on it too, but I think if Filippone's saying it's real, I tend to believe it's real, that the Ayuk deal is done and that they're just, you know, crossing T's and dotting I's to say that he's a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. How does that make you feel, Browns fans, if that's true? If it's true, he's going to Pittsburgh. In some ways, it looks to me like he decided, you know what? I'm taking Pittsburgh over Cleveland. 216-474-0092. Jim Harbaugh, you just heard it in the update. Dan, you have you don't have anything more on that then. Just what he had just said, what Andrew said in the update, is that should Jim Harbaugh come back to the NCAA, he will have to sit out at least one season, right? That's what it was. And it's all, there's a show cause here too. So, like, whoever would hire him would have to explain to the NCAA why they want to hire him in the first place. Ohio State fans will remember this because Jim Tressel had a similar situation. So, it's a one-year, just correct me if I'm wrong, one-year suspension, and this is because he was recruiting when no one else was allowed to recruit while we were going through COVID.
Correct.
Okay.
This is the recruiting scandal, I guess, that took place during the COVID-19 dead period where no one was allowed to contact recruits because of various health violations and all that stuff. Jim Harbaugh proceeded to do as such, and I believe a chunk of his staff did as well. And so here we are now finally getting a ruling on this. Everything you said is accurate. He's suspended for 1 year, and there will be a four-year show cause. So if Jim Harbaugh does not return to college football in 4 years, then he doesn't have to serve anything.
Yeah, it's like Jim Tressel served out his show cause. If he wanted to go back and coach college football right now, even if he wanted to, he'd be clean and he'd be able to go do whatever he wants for any team, and he wouldn't have any restrictions against him for going out and trying to recruit or doing anything. He'd just be regular coach kind of guy if that was the situation. But the hard part is that, you know, Ohio State got a one-year bowl suspension, which drove Urban Meyer absolutely insane because they had a great team that year and they weren't allowed to go to a bowl because they were sitting out, you know, what had happened with Tressel. And so I don't know. I look at this. You guys know I get all fired up about this. Like, I don't understand. Go ahead. What do you got? One more.
I was just going to say, direct statement right here. During the show cause order, Harbaugh would be barred from all athletically related activities, including team travel, practice, video study, recruiting, and team meetings at any NCAA school that employed him. Additionally, if hired during the show cause order, Harbaugh would be suspended for 100% of his first season of employment. The results of those contests during Harbaugh's suspension would not count towards career coaching record. Sorry, Jeff.
Oh, I was worried about his record. That'd be my biggest concern.
You know what he's worried about?
Because they may have to vacate some of his wins. It's so stupid.
He's worried about how that house construction's coming along.
I still
new place in LA.
Still don't understand how, and again, that was a 2011. Tressel was suspended for 6 games from the Colts. This is the thing that just absolutely fires me up. Like, I don't know why, as a consultant, the NFL decided they wanted to put their hands in on this one. And I know you're all going to like, turn the page and who cares? It was forever ago and blah, blah, blah. But at that time,
NFL thought. Say anything now, Dan.
No, I know. I took all the words out of your mouth.
You put the quarter in, you got to let the full song play.
Yeah, oh, no. Yeah.
At that time, the NFL thought it was important to suspend Jim Tressel, and the Colts were like, okay, whatever. I mean, so he had to sit out. I think he had to sit out 6 games in the NFL because of what had happened at Ohio State. I don't know how in the same league Jim Harbaugh can coach in the NFL this year or not have some kind of suspension. And maybe it's just easy to suspend a guy who's a video coordinator compared to a guy who's a head coach. I don't know if that's maybe the scenario. I'll sit here on my stoop and I'll stew about it, and I'll still try to figure out how shady it looks that's not happening. But whatever. Maybe I'm just on my own island. I'm good for it. Jeff?
Andy, I don't know if there's anything more I can or should add to that.
Okay. You don't want to pile on?
Well, no.
You already said it.
You should turn the page. You should move on. I think your employment with Coach Tressel as his PR man is worn off now.
You know what you can do right now. That was not nice, not fair. And I'm not trying to be a PR guy for Jim Tressel. I'm not. I just don't think it was right. And I don't know that it's right for you to say that either, that I'm trying to be a PR guy for Tressel. That's not right either. So
I thought it would be kind of fun.
I know.
Just like you doing the do voice for Dan and me.
No, I don't really do that. I have a different voice for you.
No, you just did that moments ago.
Trying to remember. Can we play that back, please? Do we have the replay? Can we go back to replay on that?
Wait, go to the tape? Do we want to bring the show to a halt and go to the tape?
Yeah, I didn't. Oh, Jeff's throwing a red flag. What am I supposed to do? Who's going to get the penalty? He may have burned a timeout.
Who didn't pack the tent?
All right, we now go to this break so we can go to the tape.
All right, we're back from the break.
All right, back from the break. There's no evidence that Andy Baskin made fun of Jeff Phelps and I during the VAR challenge that took place here on 92.3 The Fan.
Boom. You just lost.
No, you did. Then you lost. Said, I, there's nothing you can say because I just said everything. So there it was.
Okay, all right. Mark's in Fairview Park. Hi, Mark.
Down, Baskin.
How are you, Mark?
Hey, doing all right, guys.
Now, what do you think should happen to Harbaugh here, man?
Oh, bury him. Listen, I wanted to ask because I thought even with Tressel, the show clause extended from the NCAA, and that even blocked any opportunity he had in the NFL. So do you think that would...
How could the... I don't know how that's... Like,
it's
the
not,
NCAA...
That's not possible.
Yeah, I don't know that that's... The NFL decided to do that when they said he had to sit out six games.
Yes, and I didn't know if... From your opinion, if you think the NFL will get involved with the Chargers, with Harbaugh, with the organization, you know, and force them upon that.
All right, Mark, just appease me. Just go, yes, they should. They should get all fired up and suspended for a couple of games this year for the Chargers. And then we'll both realize that the time has passed. And then
yes,
we can't.
They should.
Yeah. Mark, if we were sitting at a bar, I would buy you a beer right now. Thank you. Thank you for supporting me.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Miller Lite.
Thank
Good
you, Mark.
Go.
There you go. Appreciate it. Mark in Fairview Park. Sitting at the bar with me, commiserating. What else can they do to Harbaugh now? Will he last in the league?
Buy him some new khaki pants.
Yeah, will he last in the NFL for that long that he might even have to contemplate going back to the NCAA or to an NCAA team in the next 4 years?
Nope. He'll either be there or he'll be working TV. He'd be great on TV.
All right, on things worth mentioning. But we're not going to go full-blown breaking news or anything like that on it.
Mm-hmm.
Our buddy Andrew Filippone.
Okay.
On our sister station down in Pittsburgh.
Oh, here we go.
Sources. The Steelers have a verbal agreement in place with the 49ers for Brandon Ayuk. All the terms of the deal and contract details are being hammered out now. The wide receiver is coming to Pittsburgh. Again, Andrew Filippone reporting that, saying that sources are telling him the Steelers have a verbal agreement in place with the 49ers for Brandon Ayuk. All the terms of the deal and contract details are being hammered out now. The wide receiver coming to Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Well why wouldn't we consider that breaking news? Of course it is. Yeah.
I hope he's incorrect. I would not want to see him go to the Steelers.
Wait, why are we questioning Filippone? If Filippone's saying this is correct, it's right. Why would he make up a lie?
Because earlier he had said the Steelers were out. That sources were telling the Steelers are out.
No, earlier today.
We're back in and... We're flipping back and forth all over the place here. So
it was it was Patriots and Browns. Now Patriots are out. Browns might be out. Steelers are back. When the 49ers decide to announce something and everything, I'll buy it.
You're not going to buy it from any reporter then, right? Like if Mike Florio came out and said it, then you wouldn't buy that either.
I would buy it from Florio, from Schefter.
Well, I just think if Filippone's going to report about, this.
It's nothing against Andrew.
Sure is.
No, Andy, it's not. There's so much.
Yes, it is.
Well, in your mind, certainly not mine, or I wouldn't have said it. There's so much flying around about this that I'm going to wait and see what happens. There are a couple of national reporters who seem to get all the stories before they break. Sometimes a local story reporter gets one. I'm going to choose to just wait and hear it from Schefter or the Niners.
Oh, I'm disappointed. If Filippone's saying it's a done deal.
Don't be disappointed in the way I think.
Well, no, I think it's funny how we just like assume that some of these reporters that say it, it's gold. But if somebody else says it,
did you believe
it
yesterday when he said the Steelers were out?
No, I don't remember him saying. Hang on. I don't remember him saying they were out. I've never heard Filippone say they were out.
That's because nobody cared when he said they were out.
I know what he said this morning, that he said that, hang on, now I got to go back and read the tweet. It's on our own website. His earlier tweet today, pressure.
Maybe he's right. I hope not, because I do not want to see Brandon Ayuk in this division. That would put the Browns wide receiving crew way down in the division rankings.
Kind of adds to the rivalry a little bit, because it will have meant that he picked, if there was a deal and framework that was done between the Browns and the 49ers and they were just waiting for Ayuk to make a decision, that he chose Pittsburgh over Cleveland. Am I wrong? If there was a deal in place And it was just a matter of trying to figure out if this was the deal. That's where, again, Filippone said earlier today, barring a last-second change of heart from the 49ers or Brandon Ayuk, the Steelers expect to trade for Ayuk by the end of the week at the latest. And, yeah, that was it. He said that earlier today. I never caught the part where he said they were out. I had heard Pittsburgh was in the whole time and that no one was talking about him yesterday. I was like, I don't get this. I don't get it. And then New England dropped out, and so our proposal, or the Browns' proposal, was sitting there as we were waiting to find out if Ayuk wanted it. And then go back to Mike Silver when we were talking about before, Jeff, that, you know, it sounded to me like Ayuk was looking for what's better for his family. A little bit, right? Because we talk about that all the time. Maybe. Sometimes I dismiss that, and you tend to weigh that a little bit heavier about, you know, life choices and wanting to make sure that your family's going into a good situation. I was like, wow, you know, if you're listening to Mike Silver, Mike said what Jeff says all the time on this show. You know, when it comes to making decisions like this, career choice, where you're going to, where, you know, what's next for you.
We'll see. That's all we can do at this point. I'm going to wait and hear it from either one of the one or two national sources who never seem to miss, or from the teams involved.
Yeah, I'd rather hear it from the team. Let's be honest with you. That way you know it's 100% real. So I mean, I'm backing off on it too, but I think if Filippone's saying it's real, I tend to believe it's real, that the Ayuk deal is done, and that they're just, you know, crossing T's and dotting I's to say that he's a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. How does that make you feel, Browns fans, if that's true? If it's true, he's going to Pittsburgh. In some ways, it looks to me like he decided, you know what? I'm taking Pittsburgh over Cleveland. 216-474-0092.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.